We're in a series that we've titled Open 24/7. Like a neon sign that is flashing in the darkness. Open 24/7, what that sign does is it connects us to people that are available to help us in a time of need. When everything else is closed, when everything around is tightened, buckled up, and closed and locked up, and people are not available, what that sign says is someone is available. And whenever you experience a great need in your life, in the middle of the night, it is so incredibly important to find a sign like that, to be aware that somebody is available to help you. And here's what Jesus says. That is exactly how he wants us to love people. He wants us to be available to help hurting people and to care for them in their time of need. I read that the philosophy behind the grocery stores and why they're being open, why they're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what it is being available 24/7 gives them a reputation in the community of being reliable. It tells the community when they're open 24/7 that they are a reliable source for the community. Now here, I want you to get this, please, because we've got to get this for ourselves. That's exactly what God wants you and I to be. Reliable individuals. We're the community. We're the people around the community. We're the people in our community. The people, our neighbors, see us as a reliable source that is available to help them in their time of need. It used to be that the church was the center of the community, that the church cared for the people and the needs of the people in the community. The church was this reliable source that people turned to. And they provided for people. But in today's world, now our government has kind of stepped in to assume this responsibility. They provide and they allocate money and programs and things to take care of the needs of the people in the community. And I just wonder if the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about us because we are the church, not the four walls. I'm talking about individuals. Those of us that are in a relationship with Jesus, you are the church. And I wonder if we as the church are okay with the government assuming that responsibility. Are we okay with forfeiting that responsibility, that God-given responsibility that we have to care for the needs of other people? Have we relinquished that responsibility maybe because it makes our lives easier? So as we are the church, and we give away that responsibility, we have to understand that God has given us this responsibility to care for the needs of the community around us. Here's how Jesus says it. He says, you're here to be a light, to bring out the God colors in the world, and God is not a secret to be kept. That we're going public with this, he says. As public as a city that's on a hill. And he says, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, he says, shine. You, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, our generous Father in heaven. Now here, we've got to get this, all of us. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying that this is a commandment. I'm saying this is how we were designed to live, okay? And that's this. We have a personal responsibility to be the light. All of us. It's not that the church has a responsibility. We as individuals have a personal responsibility to be the light. And that is because if we are not the light, people will not see God. Think about it. I know that's a lot of responsibility. I know that might sit not well because you think, I'm not qualified for this. I think what it does do is it sets us up exactly for what we're talking about today, and that is we have a desperate need that we have to address if we're going to be the light and to be a reliable source of light to the community that we live in. I like how the Message states this scripture. It says this, if you see some brother or sister in need and have a means of doing something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. Look at that reminds us of this sense of responsibility. God's love doesn't just flow throughout the world and, you know, it flows through you in your community. It flows through the church throughout the world. So we need to understand that God's plan is to use us. God's plan is to use you because people experience God in how we care for them. That's just a great thought. People experience God in how you care for them. So in this series, what we've been looking at is this. We got to be open 24/7. Open 24/7 for God to continually change us, because we're nowhere near where we need to be, and we're not anywhere, we're not going to be. We're in a constant change process, all of us. Doesn't matter how long you've been following Christ, God is always shaping us and forming us and giving, you know, moving us. So we need to be open for God to do that. And then we also need to be open 24/7 for God to give us a heart for people. God has to work that in, because that's God's heart. God's heart is a heart for people. We also need to be a light that needs to be available to show compassion to people. And the way that we show compassion, we've talked about, is this: demonstrating a selfless love in a selfish world. That is what gets, that's the light. That's the flashing neon sign. When we're able to have a selfless love in a selfish world, that gets people's attention. Last week, we talked about the attitude that allows us to show God's love and allows us to show God to others, and that is having a heart that serves others. And what we talked about is Jesus says those who follow him will be servants. And I would encourage you, if you were not here last week, that you would listen to that talk, because it really spoke to a lot of people, and it's a great talk. Not because I said it, but it was just very pointed to us as the church. And it says, those of us that follow Christ are called to be servants. And then one of the statements that I made that I want to repeat is this: as we serve in insignificant ways, ways that nobody else wants to and ways that nobody else is willing to, that's when we learn to serve with the right heart. God wants us to serve, not just serve, but serve with the right heart. And the way that we serve with the right heart is doing things that nobody else wants to do or is willing to do. Because what happens is when we put ourselves in places to do what nobody else is wanting to and willing to, then these attitudes start surfacing like, hey, well, who do they think they are? Why do I have to do it and they don't? Or why am I doing this and I put my time in and they don't? And I've done this and they don't? And that becomes a judgment that we put on other people, and then we begin to think, oh, you know what, I'm better than this. I should be doing something else. See, those are all things that, go listen to the talk, because Jesus dealt with that. And he told us that there's nothing beneath us, no act of service that is beneath us. So anyways, we got to move on. As we understand and step into this reality, the responsibility that we have of caring for people, there's this learning curve that we all have. None of us have it figured out, and we're all getting better at it. It is a process that we have to address in our lives, and we have to learn. It's a process of failures and successes, and there are times that we mess up, and there's times that we miss opportunities. There's days that we nail it and days that we don't. And when we talk about being the light or sharing the light, we need to understand this, that we're not talking about our goodness in us, but God in us. So when you look at the light that we're supposed to be in this world, that has nothing to do with our goodness in us, but God in us. In fact, we can understand it this way, maybe, and you can write this down, and that's the light that we possess is the Spirit that possesses us. Maybe that helps us to understand that this is not about us. See, the more control that we give the Spirit and the more control the Spirit has in our lives, the more that light will be seen by others. And I mentioned this in the first week of the talk, but it applies here, and that's this. If there's anything good in us, it's God in us. That's the bottom line. So we have to work that into it, and we have to understand that. So in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it tells us this: do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Think about that. That the God, the creator of this universe, that God who spoke galaxies into place, this infinite God wants to reside and does reside within you, because he loves you and he has relationship with you. And here's the thing: God lives in you not because he needs a place to stay. God lives in you because he requires relationship, and relationship that he wants with you requires communication. A healthy relationship has and requires communication and conversation. And God wants that healthy relationship with us. The instruction and direction that God wants to give requires communication. Whether you're an employer or an employee, you understand that no direction or instruction can be given without conversation. See, and God's plan for your life and my life requires his power to be active through us. That's why God resides within you. Not because he needs a place to stay, and not because it just makes you better, and not because it makes you more of a perfect person. You see, all those things are, God wants to work through us and in us. I love this scripture. It says this, and it really captures what we're talking about today. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part. Not just Sunday. Like a lot of us have these compartments and these days that we get. And Sunday's God's day, and Friday night's not. Saturday night's not. I don't know. So what does it mean to follow the Spirit's leading? First of all, it means this, that we're listening to what the Spirit is saying. I don't know if you've been listening. I don't know if you do. I don't know if you're tuned in. Are you listening to what the Spirit is saying to you? And Proverbs says this, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he is the one who will keep you on track. The truth is, we can't fulfill God's plan for our lives if we're not listening for his direction, if we're not listening for his voice. And sometimes we need to slow down. We need to be quiet. We need to plan to spend time with God, and maybe even schedule to spend time with God, because we schedule everything else. We work it into our plan for the day, and we can schedule time with God. And we find this quiet place that we are able to remove any distractions, and we're able to just listen and tune in to him speaking. And listen, I just want to, it's an inner voice. It's not nothing that you hear with your external ears. It's what you hear internally. It's like an impression. It's like a thought. And in fact, a lot of times people miss God's voice because they think, oh, it's just me thinking this. It's just me. That's just my thoughts. The problem is we got to remember there's nothing good in us except God in us. So if you have a thought that's saying, you know what, you need to pray for that person. Do you think you're good enough to think that thought on your own? No. That's the Spirit of God that's moving and directing. But here's what we go. Oh, no, that's not for me. Listen, it's that. I'm hoping that we just get this today, because this is so imperative that we really, really understand it. We need to be listening. And also, if we're following God's Spirit, it also means that we do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. We do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. In Psalms, it says this, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you. And watch, I love this, watch over your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. Because a stubborn mule is always fighting the person that's giving the direction. And he's saying, listen, don't fight me on this. When I'm asking you to do something and it's for your good, it's for the good of the kingdom, it's what God wants to do, don't fight him on it. And yet we have this tendency. God tells us what to do. But we have to put it into action, and that's what's called faith. That's what faith is about, is when God is telling us what to do, and it might be something really small. It might be like, hey, I want you to go to that person. I just want you to say something encouraging. I want you to tell them that I love them. I just want you to just tell them that. And you're like, I'm not doing that. They're going to think I'm crazy. And what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. See, this is why it's so important that we actually not just understand the principle, but we learn how to apply it. When we first start following Jesus, we don't always know his voice. We, as I said earlier, we think it's our thoughts or just us thinking these thoughts to ourselves. But as we grow in relationship, what happens, we learn to know God's voice. And Jesus said it this way. He says, my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And again, it's not just hearing his voice, it is there is an action that's attached to it. In other words, my sheep don't just hear me, they do what I'm asking them to do. So as we go through life, we need this direction. We need wisdom, we need warnings, we need the Holy Spirit. In everyday life, we need the Holy Spirit leading us. The last one here is, if we're also going to follow the Holy Spirit, then it means that we're investing our lives into people. And that might, you might think that that is not a part of it, but we got to remember this. We said this earlier. The heart of God is a heart for people. If the heart of God is a heart for people, then what the Holy Spirit is always going to be doing is pointing us to the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is always going to be pointing us to the vision of God, the direction of God. What God is wanting to do, that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to direct us and to make us more like Christ. So when we say that God's heart is a heart for people, then you've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is always going to be shaping in us a love for people where we invest our lives into people. So what happens is we start following the Spirit. It means we're thinking about what pleases God, not what pleases us. Not what we want to do, but what God is asking us to do. We start looking beyond our own interests, beyond ourselves. A life led by the Spirit is a selfless life. And when we listen to God and do what He says, He's going to lead us to care for the hurts and needs of others. But look, investing our lives and living selflessly can be intimidating. It can really be overwhelming. So we need to understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit and how that works for us. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is this, that we're designed to do life from God's Spirit. You're designed to do life from God's Spirit. In other words, God's Spirit becomes our source of life. We're not supposed to live a self-generated spiritual life where we provide the willpower and the motivation and the strength. But Jesus called us to a Spirit-generated life. When Jesus was talking to a guy named Nicodemus, he said it this way. He says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And he says, humans can produce or reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So look at your spiritual life is nothing. You are not the source of it. It's nothing that you just muster up and go, man, you know what? I'm going to be strong today. That's it. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in your life. All of us were born of the Spirit when we surrendered our lives to Christ. And this is important because I watch people in life struggle. I watch people in life who are discouraged. They're despondent. They're disillusioned with God. And they basically become disappointed with God because they go, you know what? I just thought that my spiritual life would be more than this. Whatever it is. And I would say, you're right, it is supposed to be more than that. But it can't be more than this than you have if it's not Spirit generated. See, Jesus says this in John. He said, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. So here's how this plays out. It's our relationship with God, our connection with God, our spiritual life is a byproduct of your investments into the Spirit. Please don't miss that. Your relationship with God, your connection with God, your spiritual life is a byproduct of your investments into the Spirit who resides within you. The time that you spend studying the Bible, the time that you spend talking to God, those are important things. You know what? I said this. I love the Bible app. The Bible app is really good. It makes it very convenient. It makes it helpful and everything. And I'm not dissing on that at all because especially for beginners, I think it's great. But here's what happens. When we rely upon an app, it never teaches us how to dig into God's Word. It never teaches us how to connect with God's Spirit. As we read and as we look at cross-references and as we read the notes and as we study and go deeper into Scripture, because what happens is we just kind of read a Scripture or maybe we go off of a Bible plan, which is a great thing. That's a nice thing. You know, we do a devotional, and we promote those because those are good things. But if that is the extent of our Bible study and our spiritual connection with God into His Word, it's pretty surface. It doesn't go deep. And what I'm saying is this, the Spirit is always going to call you to a deeper relationship where we're learning to study the Bible, we're learning to talk to God, we're learning to be obedient to God. And the connection that you have with God's Spirit, it's critically important. So when we live in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-generated life changes the way that we think, it changes how we live, it changes our perspective, it changes everything. Another part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit is this, we are designed not just to do life from God's Spirit, but we are designed to do life with God's Spirit. And that's not semantics. Because from God's Spirit becomes where God's Spirit is the source. With God's Spirit is when we do life with God. In other words, we're not alone, we're in relationship with God. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of everything that you're doing, and He lives and lives within you. So that means wherever you go, Saturday night, Friday night, Sunday, wherever you're at, you're bringing God with you. That's what's important. And that's what He wants us to understand is, we're not designed to bring God into our agenda. We're designed to be a part of God's agenda. Again, Galatians 5:25 says, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. God wants to be a part. He wants us to play a part in what he's doing in the lives of others. And I would just say it this way. Right now, in the people in your life, the people that you have relationship with, people have prayers that they're talking to God. They're asking God for prayer. They're praying and asking God for things. And the Holy Spirit can definitely lead us to be a part of answering prayers and serving the hurts and caring for the needs of people if we're listening, if we're tuned in to what the Spirit's saying. So another part of the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit is the companion that we need in life. And it's this way. Jesus says, I'll talk to the Father and he'll provide for you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. Basically, you will never be alone because the Spirit is going to be in you and with you. See, Jesus was talking about today's experience. See, when we have relationship with Jesus, we always have a companion with us. Because I'm telling you, you need encouragement. I need encouragement. We need peace. We need wisdom. We need to know what God wants us to do. So we need direction in our lives. And God wants you to experience all these things because here's the issue. The Holy Spirit in you quiets your fears because fears can paralyze you. You think, oh, I can't do that. Or it just makes you freeze and you're like, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. See, the Holy Spirit is with us to empower you so that you don't have to be paralyzed by fears. The Holy Spirit also gives you the courage that you need to do what God's asking you to do. Holy Spirit provides you with direction and insight that you need. And again, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life and I will advise you and watch over you. I just feel like this is one of the most important things that we as Christ followers need to learn. And that's how to be led by the Spirit. And here's why. It says this in Romans 8. True children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Can I say that again just so it sink in? True children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Do you think that this is an important topic? Do you think it's something we probably should learn? Maybe something we should learn how to do? The mark that we're a believer, a child of God, is that the Holy Spirit is leading us. And when we are beginning to follow Jesus, we're not very good at this, obviously. We're not really sure how the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us and what that looks like, but over time we learn and we get better at allowing him to lead. And so if we're going to learn this, we need to make it as simple as we can. And so how do we let the Holy Spirit lead us? I just want to make this as simple as I can because there has to be a process that gets us going. And that is this. You've got to be responsive to the Spirit within you. It's not just aware that the Holy Spirit is there. It's not just in tune like, hey, I know I got the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. You know, you've got to be responsive. There has to be a response to the Spirit that lives within you. When we surrender our lives to Christ, then God's Spirit lives in us. And he's always speaking to us. Even, I would say this right now, God right now is even speaking to you about something that's going on in your life and what he wants to lead you to do. It might be something, I mean, even in the talks, like for me, there's times people think that I do the talks for you. The talks are for me as well. And there are times that in the talk that God will say, Dave, I want you to work on that. Dave, I want you to surrender that. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking that as I'm talking. Because listen, that's what it means to be responsive. I can't dismiss it and say, oh, no. Responsive means I'm not just hearing the Spirit speak. I'm being responsive to what he's telling me and asking me to do. We have to live surrendered and controlled lives, lives that are controlled by the Spirit, where we live to please him. Look, there's a scripture here that I want to read that you're going to think is way out of place, but it really isn't. It fits very well. Ephesians 5:18 tells us this. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You think, how does that work, Dave? I mean, how does that fit into what we're talking about? It's saying this. Don't be controlled by a substance. Be controlled by God's Spirit. A substance will deplete your life. The Spirit will give you life. We have to learn to surrender and be responsive to the Spirit so that we're experiencing the life that he wants us. There's another in Romans 8 that says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So it's allowing the Holy Spirit to move us to help others. And also, We let the Holy Spirit lead when we live with an awareness of the needs surrounding us. Do you live with an awareness of the needs surrounding you? You might think, how does that play in? Because, again, when we live with this awareness of the needs of those around us, remember, God is the one who's shaping a heart in us for people to care for their needs. But a lot of times we are so focused on ourselves and our own needs that we're oblivious to the needs around us. So when God says this, hey, Dave, I want you to give groceries to this couple, you're like, what? They don't need that. Because I'm oblivious to the need. I'm not aware of the needs that people have. And I'm just saying this to say we need to be careful and we need to live with an awareness so that when God speaks, because he is speaking, when God speaks and says, I want you to do this, you are already aware of it. See, the role that you play is you become a part of God answering people's prayers, as I said earlier. In Acts, there's a disciple named Philip, and Philip's walking along. And here's how the story goes. I'm just reading a portion of it. But it says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, he says, go over and walk alongside that carriage. And so Philip ran over and he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up inside the carriage and sit with him. And basically what happened out of that was that the man gave his life, surrendered his life to Christ. The man immediately saw water and said, hey, I want to be baptized right now. How did that happen? Because Philip lived with an awareness of the needs around him. He was living responsive to what the Spirit was saying. There's been so many times, and I'm sure even maybe in your lives, there's been so many times in Cynthia's and my life where people, complete strangers, have come up to us and they have said an encouraging word or provided for us or done something for us, and we didn't even know them. But people come up and they do this. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but you know, we were sitting there eating dinner and God just told us to come and to do this. And it was exactly what we needed. And you look and you go, man, that is so humbling. But think about this. Think about the faith that it takes for somebody to walk up to a complete stranger and say, God just told me to come over here and tell you how much he loves you. We have to be people of faith that we're willing to be led by the Spirit and we're willing to do what the Spirit is asking us when the Spirit asks us. The last one is this. We let the Holy Spirit lead us when we pray for the people around us. Because you and I can't have a heart for people if we're not praying for people. We can't be aware of the needs of people if our heart is hard towards people. If we live in judgment or if we live with attitudes towards them, we have no heart and no awareness for their needs and what God wants to do in their life. The Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray for other people. But listen, when we pray for people, we bring God's activity into their lives. And here's what it says, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything that you need. And do this. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all of God's people. Last week I said this, you're never more like Jesus than when you serve others. And that's absolutely right. This week I say this, you're never more like Jesus than when you're praying for others. Because that's what he's always done. He lives in conversation with the Father, even now. Scripture calls it, he's our advocate. You're never more like Jesus than when you pray for others. I love watching us responsive to God's Spirit, even in a song. I love watching people take small steps. I don't know if you've ever felt this way where you felt like, you know what, I'm not good enough, or I don't have what it takes to follow Christ. I don't have my stuff together. So I can't do this. Listen, I'm telling you, you're right, you can't. This is why we need God's Spirit to live within us, why we need him to reside within us. I want you to know, God wants you to experience his encouragement. He wants you to experience his peace, his joy, his patience, his peace. He wants you to experience kindness and goodness and faithfulness. But not only does he want you to experience that, he wants the fruit of that, of his Spirit, to be given to other people so that they can open up their hearts to experience this God. And maybe you're here today and you've never had that relationship. Listen, I just want to encourage you that right now, if you were to listen to the Spirit speak within you, the Holy Spirit is saying this: I created you for this. I created you for this relationship. I know that it's scary and I know that you feel overwhelmed, but I'm telling you, I love you and I'm with you. I can't reside with just a portion of your life. I want all of you. And that's what God is saying. That's what his Spirit is saying. But we tend to fight him. And I would encourage you today to be, even today, to be responsive to the Spirit and do what he's asking of you. God loves you more than you could ever understand. And I'm telling you, the Spirit doesn't make you better than others. It makes you better than yourself. And the reason that God puts his Spirit in you is because we need a Holy Spirit in us, because we're not holy in and of ourselves. Father, we come to you today, all of us with different places in our lives. There's some that are wanting to begin a relationship with you, and they're saying, God, I want you to be the center of my life. God, I want you to have control of my life. I want my life to be a life that honors you. I want to experience your peace. Father, you know them. You know their hearts. You know, you hear their conversations right now. And Father, I just pray that you would breathe new life into them. That you would just remove the past, the guilt. Remove it all. Father, I pray that you would fill them with hope and with peace, and remind them and show them how much you love them and care about them. Father, for all of us today, may we be people that are responsive to your Spirit. May we live with an awareness of the needs surrounding us. Father, may we be in prayer for the people that are around us as well. Thank you for allowing us to be your children. And as your children, may we truly be led by your Spirit in every area of our lives, we pray. Amen.